of those two girls catch up.
Tell you what my traps are for.
Sarah, do you know what a trap is?
Yeah, I do, and it just annoys me when she gets so specific with body parts. Like, she can't just have my shoulders are sore.
Oh, well, because it's not specifically. It's specifically my traps.
You vex me.
Do you want to just not do the podcast today?
No, okay. Look, before we get to the show, let's just talk about the fact.
Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Oh, yeah. Why
Sarah, I mean, Jace. Can you get us some 90s music just to warm us into what Sarah's about to announce?
Okay. I'd actually like some Taylor Dane.
Who?
Taylor Dane, look it up.
Oh my God, you're such a cow.
I've heard people say.
Oh, Taylor Dane.
Yeah, Dane.
What's the song?
Too much of anything is not good for your bird.
Can't get enough of your love.
That's it.
Okay.
That was another song, Lise.
Great lyrics.
I'll be your shelter, baby.
Okay, you tell me when you want me to fire it off.
Okay, go now.
Warm into it, go.
Oh, or do you want the intro?
I want the intro. Yeah, it's got to go the intro. Take it back,
Jason. But this isn't very 90s. This is
90s. No, it isn't.
It 100% is a cover. Taylor, that is not her original song.
It was 1993.
Yeah, 100%.
Can't get enough of your love, baby.
I'm thinking Backstreet Boys or Shania Twain or Britney or Christina.
All right, let's go. Okay, can we please have Shania?
Yeah.
Can't we do like...
You're still the one?
Oh,
feel like a woman?
Nope. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall.
You're a regular original, know it all.
Okay, do you want it from the intro?
Yes,
from the very start.
Can we start this whole thing all over again?
You asked for music.
You did.
Sarah was about to go and tell something,
and then you were like, "Can we get 90s music first?" Then we had to have that discussion.
Okay, but I wanted it to be clean.
It's as messy.
Nothing's clean in this show.
As
what?
Bat pee.
Okay, good.
Guano.
Here's the intro. We're starting this now.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right, I'm feeling it.
All right.
Okay.
Wow! Okay, Hypercolor shirts, we released them yesterday. It was a soft release. We surprised you all.
Released at 12:30 midday, just in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
A little something for your lunchbox.
Yeah, so we're down 50% of them already. So there are 100 shirts in total between adults and kids. And a lot of people are panicking because the ones they've wanted have sold out. So I'm going to give you, the podcasters, the lowdown on what's still available.
Well, the podcasters are the OG hypercolor.
They're the OGs. They were here at the beginning.
Trend creators.
So you've got green that turns to yellow available in adults. He's also added grey to white.
Yes, which originally wasn't our cup of tea.
It wasn't. We thought people want neon.
But then we thought maybe grey to white is perfectly up someone's alley.
You know what? I'm not a very big colourful person, so grey to white is great.
So grey to white would work for you, Jace. Yeah. God, we're idiots. Then there's
still one orange to yellow left, which is the one Lise was wearing.
Mm-hmm. What size is that in, Sarah?
That's in a large.
But you know what? I would say upsize. Upsize your life.
And then or downsize, because there's a small in the tank that goes from blue to white.
But really,
there's a medium in the tank that goes from blue to white.
And the small could be suitable for a large child.
Well, yes. And then let's talk kids, because the colours that are left in the kids' ranges are orange to yellow, grey to white, and blue to white. And all the kids' sizes are medium, which is roughly an 8 to 10.
Yeah, and it works. It works, because you've got that for your girls, and they're just going to deal with it.
They are.
Here's the thing. What we know from James at Hypercraze, who's our partner in crime in this, is that people are buying, on average, each order is securing 2 shirts, sometimes 3.
Well, because the flat rate, you know how we learnt from the dressing gowns last time with the postage? The brilliant thing with James is that it's a flat rate of $12 anywhere
in Australia.
Whether you buy
1 or 12.
So whether you're living in regional Victoria,
he doesn't discriminate.
Or Longreach, high, low, it don't matter.
It don't matter.
It does impress me a lot,
That impresses me greatly.
So yeah,
this is
still,
the other thing, Sarah.
Available.
People are panicking. They're saying we need more for Christmas because it is. This is like this is the thing that you buy. Just buy them all.
Yeah.
Because then you can dish them out willy nilly to all the cousins, all the nieces and nephews. Boom.
And we'd love to be able to restock them, but one, that's not what limited edition means.
But then, here's the other
two,
question for
they're
our
from America
also,
and the Sarah is just
as my
and
Christmas present. You guys can get me the grey and white one.
You want the grey to white?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Okay.
Give it to me at Christmas, though. Don't give it to me now.
All right. What size do you want?
No, don't tell me you're doing it.
Oh, sorry.
Like, I'm just saying guys, that I out have, loud now. I'll forget about it. And then you go. Okay.
I have another important question for podcasters. You can reach us with your answers at Lise and Sarah or just email us or get us on Facebook, whatever. The other option is that James at Hypercraze has, because they're selling out so far, is the option is the big Hypercraze logo on the front with TTG on the sleeve. Would you be keen for that? If they want it, we can
that
give it.
Don't impress me much.
I'm just going to keep throwing that song in there because I like it.
I mean, it's very 90s, Hypercraze. TTG on the side, maybe people are still desperate for them. Who are we to hold them back? Who are we to hold them back? Put it in the comments.
I feel like you're just talking to yourself.
Yeah, I know.
I am. I really am. Anyway, great. Good chats.
I mean, it's an option, but let's try and get through the plain ones first because they're the ones that James has got for us.
Sarah, they've been on sale for all of 12 hours and people are knocking down our proverbial door.
James is working very hard. I think
Sarah,
he listens to the podcast.
You and I need to debrief on Betty.
Let's do it after.
We don't
want to
give away spoilers. Yes.
Yeah,
I need to get that out so I remembered.
All right. Yeah.
These two are obsessed with Dirty John, and I haven't jumped on the bad.
The Betty
I'm just
Broderick
not in the
story.
Mood at the moment.
Oh, get in the mood. Get in the bloody mood. You're missing out.
I'm too busy organising my fridge and pantry
after that
show.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's annoying. I couldn't even. I lasted one episode. I was like, this is annoying.
Why?
Voices.
Oh, their voice. Don't you reckon that one of them? We're talking about the show Get Organised.
I thought we were talking about Lise organising her pantry
well,
and stuff.
Well, she is,
and I
but
was
it's
like,
after
boring.
Watching that show Get Organised with the home.
Okay, it's trending all over the world on Netflix. But don't you reckon that one of the women, I think it's Clea, is a dead ringer for that American comedian Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Griffin.
Now that you bring it up.
Oh my God.
She did remind me of someone and I wonder
her
who.
Her manner of speech, her sense of humour, her physical appearance, she is a dead ringer for Kathy Griffin. Even the tone of her voice, I'm like, are you Kathy Griffin? Mm. Has Kathy Griffin reinvented herself as Clea from the home edit?
Yeah. I don't know. It's annoying. I couldn't.
I think I was just in that zoning out. And because the episodes are so short, boom, that's the whole series done. 8 episodes.
And then I just look at people with all their stuff. Like that whole show to me is not anywhere near the same as Marie Kondo.
No, it's not. It's a very different.
It's about decluttering your life.
Simplifying
your life. And basically, like the kind of, there's such psychology behind physical clutter.
Parting.
Gives you mental clutter. And so just having clean, clear environments is good for the soul.
I don't like to sleep when there's clothes everywhere on the floor.
Oh, no, me neither.
No, and keeping the objects in your life that are practical and or bring you joy. This show, this organized show, is just people with way too much stuff.
They're hoarders.
And just categorizing it in colors and on full display. And I think, what are you doing? Like, cull
minimalism
half that
is
stuff
the way
and give
to
it
go.
To Vinny's
the
or
The thing
Salvo's.
Is, Sarah, the difference is that these people book the service of these women. So they, I can tell on their faces half the time, they want them to cull 70% of their stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, I understand that for the purpose of the show, those people didn't have to pay for their services. But in general, they do pay. So you can't get rid of someone's belongings if they say, oh, no, I really need that 10th thing. So they do their very best. But I'm sure that in their own homes, they would be
no, and
meticulous.
Like Reese Witherspoon's cameo or part on the episode, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to see inside Reese's home. No.
It's
a new build and it's categorizing her costumes from her movies. So there was nothing You know, I love Reese Witherspoon. I'd love to peek into her closet, but she's savvy. She keeps it all
she
private.
She has like four houses and they couldn't
she
do
She does. This is her Nashville
this
home.
This was her Nashville home. And the wardrobe had just been built. And Rachel Zoe.
Oh my God, Zoe, she is a hoarder.
I mean, the stuff that she had and they're like, oh, okay, all your Chanel is over there. So you can see all your Chanel there. And she's like, oh my God.
And she archives. Oh my God. I mean, the fact that she has an archive closet gives me anxiety because then that archive must be full of shit.
Yeah, you know that's how that I feel about the whole thing. I was like, why do these people have so much stuff? Why?
It's insurance. Because if
you
have a global financial crisis, whatever, they've got all this stuff that is worth a shit ton of money.
Of course, and Rachel Zoe's collection of fashion would be worth a mozza. I understand that. But
I saw some of her gear at TK Maxx on the weekend. Oh, shit, you not. I love
TK Maxx.
I nearly bought a 90 that was a Rachel Zoe 90.
A 90? She does 90s, does she?
Did.
I mean, look, there's so much about this show that is absolute sheer consumerism at its worst.
Yeah, I think that's what makes me uncomfortable.
So there is that, and I'm very, very aware of that. Mm. But what I liked about it is that it kicks me into gear to go, right, because naturally I'm a colour. So it just reminds me, you've got to do this cupboard, you've got to go through that cupboard.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like about it, is that it motivates me to get... Especially with spring around the corner, Sarah.
But how do you feel about colour coordinated bookshelves?
I mean, I don't care for it that much.
I like a good looking bookshelf.
I love a good looking bookshelf. I don't actually, to be honest, I don't really have a bookshelf. I have book stacks that I use decoratively
Got that one on your mantle that's like
Sarah Wilson's books on my thing now.
Summer Wives, you know, some sort of romance novel.
And then Everything is Fucked
by Mark Manson. It's like, oh, wow, what a leap. How were you feeling that day when you put that book stack together? All right, let's go to the show and then come back about Betty Broderick.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Those two girls.
Hello.
Good morning. Happy hump day. No camel news yet again. This is abysmal on our part.
I just think we don't mention it again until we actually have a good camel story for hump day.
I know, but I'm still hopeful that our listeners will provide us with the content for this show. So please, if you see anything about a camel, DM us at Lees and Sarah. But Sarah, I have wonderful news about my favourite TikToker, Rohit. Now, he's the fizzy drinks guy, the no fizzy drinks, the gentleman who has decided to go without soft drink. He had a mild addiction or quite an intense addiction, in fact. Yesterday, I should say, 100 days. Take a listen.
Hello, everyone. No fizzy drink for me today. Finally, the day has arrived. We have celebrated smaller milestones, which has led us to this milestone. Now I have completed 100 days of having no fizzy drinks. Without you guys, this wouldn't have been possible. To celebrate this, I'm raising this glass of water on behalf of everyone. So thank you all. Overall, no fizzy drink in 100 days. Thank you very much.
I mean,
yes,
can you believe
Rohit.
It? He's done it. And I think the comments are possibly my favourite thing of the day. And it's such an example of how all of Australia is in lockdown because people are so invested. Like Rohit, single-handedly saving 2020. People are saying, who's coming with me on the week-long bender to celebrate? I've never been prouder of anyone in my whole life. Like, people are loving Rohit. Also, Rohit, if you are listening to this show, we sent you a DM and you never got back to us. We want you on the show. If you know Rohit or a camel, give us a call. We'll take both.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
I was catching up with a girlfriend yesterday and we were laughing about a bloke she went on a date with. This was a couple of years ago. But he was a fellow who was really trying to upsell his whole life to her. Okay, so the clearest example I have that she recalled was when he told her that he had a house that was worth $250,000.
Yes.
So, okay, hold on.
So, $250,000. I mean, well done for being a home. I mean, props,
fabulous, props. Great achievement. But that is a bargain.
That's an absolute bargain.
Right?
What do you get for $250,000 these days?
I mean, where was he living?
I think it must have been.
Nowhere
like,
metro.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, that's a significant upsell on the old life resume of saying it's worth a quarter of $1 million. Not half a mil.
No.
You can get away with half a mil.
Oh, yeah.
But a quarter. And that was the moment where she thought, you're not for me. Because if you're prepared to upsell on something like that in the first date, like what else are you going to try and do?
Why didn't he just leave it as,
I have a house.
I own my home outright. That's the upsell to me. Like, that's a wonderful achievement. Doesn't matter how much your house is worth. Just being like, I have no mortgage. That to me is like, ooh.
I like to think that he would have told her that he lived, that it was in an area that he also had to upsell. You know when, you know how, Lise, we've got that mate whose parents live in, well, they don't live in Nambour. They live in Nambour Heights. You know when you've got to add a hill somewhere in the vicinity of your suburb or town.
It's all about the vista. If you have any, that's like Dane upselling holidays to me, like it's near a beautiful bubbling brook, like there's a waterfall and it's a dam.
Yeah.
It's a dam, Dane. Like that is muddy water for the cattle. I'm not swimming in there. There's 32 black snakes at the bottom of that. Okay, be real with me. Don't you tell me. Do you know what he said to me last night? Sorry, now I'm going back down the camping aisle because you've led me there.
I knew this would
like
trigger
a horse
something
to bloody
in someone.
Water.
Yeah.
Last night he said to me, Mum and Dad had just come back from their outback Queensland road trip and they were saying how alcohol is quite expensive, like to buy a bottle of wine in the outback. Like Dad said, you know, a bottle of Wolf Blass that you buy at like BWS for $6.99 is actually like $15 out there, which makes sense.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get freight. Right. We know this.
It's got to go on a road train.
It's got to go
up the price.
Far. Dane looked at me and he said, we wouldn't have that problem if you let me, you know, build out my ute how I want to. We'd have a little bar fridge in the back of the ute.
Okay.
And, Lise, you and I will never have that problem. We will have chilled wine wherever we go.
This is because he wants you to have those al fresco glamping holidays. Which
off
is
the back of a ute. Mm. So he said, chilled wine, buy a billabong. And I said, it's a dam. Let's be clear.
And didn't you say when Dane would say, do you want to go, if you didn't plan your family holidays, he would just pull in anywhere off the M1.
He did. He took
like
no,
an
no
open
word.
Landing of scrub. No, this looks beautiful.
I sent him away. He said, I'm going to take the boys on a camping trip. I said, great, see us. He sent me a photo. They were off the M1.
What, just on like the
on the side of
the
a highway. How?
I bet he upsold it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Easy access.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
I don't think I'm out of line here saying that Labradors are the fatties of the dog world. Like, owners really have to work hard to stop them eating anything and everything in sight, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They're known to be incredibly greedy and, like, they'll eat just about anything.
Well, in fact, they're pretty stupid with what they'll eat.
Very careful,
Sarah. No. I'm not. No, I mean, Labradors are also the happiest. I mean, who doesn't like a Labrador? But they can be really dumb with what they put in their gob.
I once had a friend whose Labrador ate baby Jesus off a nativity scene.
See?
I mean, body of Christ.
Oh, God.
Please.
I'm a Catholic. I'm allowed to say
that. You can't just say a blanket, I'm a Catholic, so I'm allowed to say that. Oh, as you say 10 Hail Marys.
Hold on, I'm doing the sign of the cross. Quick.
Well, let me move from Jesus to this Labrador who escaped heaven's doors. Needed emergency treatment after he ate his entire leash in the space of a 15-minute car journey. Left everything but the metal end. And his owners, Brian and Christine, they had to rush him to the vets where he had his stomach pumped to remove it. And, I mean, I've got a picture of this lead here. I'll put it up on our Instagram if you want to see what a digested lead looks like. I mean, it's a solid meter long and it's just been munched into sort of 5-centimeter strips.
Oh, so it's not just one whole,
it's just
swallowing the lead. And
chew it up.
Swallow a bit. Chew it, swallow a bit. Yuck. Yeah. I mean, what an idiot. Really. Come on. We can say that about this dog. Saffron is its name.
Oh, Saffron.
Saffron.
I mean, that says it all.
So I thought let's open the phones. 13 10 60. What unbelievable thing has your dog eaten?
Did you just have to read that off the sheet?
Yeah, I did. I was wanting to say, what stupid thing did your dog eat? But I was like, I don't think Jace wrote that on the right. I think it's making more PC. Unbelievable thing has your dog eaten. I mean, I have been in the presence of Lise when her dog, Minnie, a Great Dane Cross Ridgey, devoured a paddle pop stick. Well, lives to tell the tale.
You make it out like I handed her the paddle pop stick. It was a very hot day, Sarah.
You were giving her a paddle pop to lick, which I'm sure I've never seen on Dr. Harry Cooper.
We were
as
all
a dietary requirement.
Enjoying an ice cream. And Minnie being the queen of our lives, it was hot. She needed a bit of cooling down too, and then she ate the whole thing and proceeded to gag.
I mean, it was a beautiful thing watching you put your entire hand up to your wrist down her giant gob trying to retrieve it. Anyway, there's a lot of people out there with dumb dogs because the phones are ringing. So, Stephen, morning. What stupid thing did your dog eat?
Our dog Arlo, he's a coolie. So we found half a sock in his number twos, and we don't know what happened to the other half, whether it stayed in there or he had passed it previously, but it was literally one of my work socks, so it wasn't a small sock at all by any stretch of the imagination.
Arlo is still a happy, functioning dog? No.
He's still eating socks. It's one of his favourite things to do.
Why do they like it? It's so odd to me.
I mean, Stephen, why do you keep leaving them around?
Oh, sorry. Stephen's still there. There he is.
Steve, have you started putting your socks away now?
What his little game is to when we sit on the couch and watch TV at the end of the day, he likes to just nibble on the end of them, flea bite them, and slowly pull them off your feet. Generally, we take them off him, but somehow I think he's got a stash somewhere in the house that he likes to chew on when we all go to bed. It's like he's after dinner treat.
Wow. After dinner feet.
God.
Cam in Melbourne, what did your dog eat that was unbelievable?
The stone out of an avocado, and it went down whole.
What?
In one foul swoop. Mum dropped it. Dog had it. Decided no one else was getting it and swallowed it. And we contemplated, well, it can't be too bad for the dog. And then we thought about the exit. And decided that wasn't going to work too well. So
Cam,
I called to the vet.
This sounds like a big dog that would be able to swallow an avocado stone in its entirety. What sort of dog do you have?
Jack Russell.
Oh, God.
That's not a big dog. And this is where the problem of the exit became.
So what happened?
We ended up calling the vet, and the vet said a teaspoon of salt and pour that down the dog's throat.
Ooh.
And within seconds, she was throwing up and threw up the stone.
Wow. Oh, that wouldn't be pleasant going back up either.
Wow.
I thought the salt maybe, Sarah, would dissolve the avocado stone or something.
It's a new life hack.
I'm thinking, yes. Jason, what has your dog eaten?
My dog has eaten one of my child's socks and cost me $5,000 to get surgically removed about 2 years ago. And last night took him for a walk and he coughed up two of my socks.
What is it with socks? What kind of dog is it, Jase?
He's a Chucky Lab.
Labrador. See? I mean, they're idiots with food, aren't they?
Oh, they're absolute nutcases.
A man has been criticised on Twitter for doing what I believe is a beautiful, selfless act of love. He was on a plane. His wife apparently was rather tired. She lay down across three seats and he stood up, Sarah, for the entire six-hour flight to let his wife sleep. Now, all of this was captured. The photograph was taken by another passenger who witnessed this incredible act of adoration.
Mm.
And that passenger is who posted it to Twitter, saying, "This is love, 6 hours standing up just so that his beloved wife could sleep." Now, people are torn. People are saying, "He's weak. Why didn't he just sit down? And why didn't she just put her head on his lap? Like, why stand for that long?"
And I guess
someone?
It's one of the great mysteries of 2020, and we'll never get to the bottom of it.
How do you feel about it? Do you feel that that's...
I mean, 6 hours,
is a long time to stand. I just don't think my lower back could cope for that long.
Look,
but
he seems
I think
rather
it's a beautiful.
Comfortable.
I mean, would I stand for Wills for that long? Would he stand for me for that long? I don't believe it to be true.
I mean, why couldn't he even sit where her feet are and put her feet? Because her head is heavy.
That's where I think there must be a backstory behind it. Like his wife has been ill, because if you are just wanting a little kippity kip kip kip,
you can just sit
you can
up straight.
Just you know, or just slump against the window like the rest
well,
of
no,
us
no,
do.
No, it was the middle three seats of the
you
aircraft.
You don't need three seats.
It was the middle three. There was no walls on either side, guys. No.
I mean, have you ever stood up for somebody on a flight?
I have.
I knew you would have. I didn't doubt it for a second.
I wouldn't have brought the story up.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought, why is she telling me this story? It's so she can tell one of her stories.
Yeah. Well, you got 30 seconds to tell it. So.
Okay, quickly go.
Once upon a time, I stood up on a plane for 7 hours, so I beat this guy. Dubai to Paris, 2010. Remy, my firstborn, was in a baby Bjorn, Sarah, so he must have been like 6 months, big bopper of a kid, massive. I was travelling alone. Had to go back, coming back from Australia, back to France, and that bastard child would not shut up. And the only way he would stop his screaming was for me to stand. And I stood up for 7 hours and lost 3 kilos on that flight, Sarah.
Really?
People were sad for me. People were crying for me. They were like, please just sit down. We can't watch you do this. And I was like, I refuse to hear his screaming pie hole. I will stand. He was a tough baby, in case you're not picking it up.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
My eldest daughter is 9 and a half, and she's a good kid. She doesn't give me much grief yet, but we're teetering on the edge of tweendom.
Yeah.
And she hurt my feelings the other night.
Oh, Sarah, your feelings are easily hurt.
No, Lise, let me set the scene. We were at gymnastics, and there was about 10 minutes before her class started, and she went downstairs to wait for the area where all the kids
go into their class. The holding
yard. Yeah, that's right. And I thought, I didn't really have anything to do, so I thought I'll go down and talk to her, just kill some time while she waits for the instructors to bring her into the arena area. And as I walked down, I saw her through the stairs, gave her a little wave. She looked a little bit shocked, and as I rounded the corner, she wasn't there. But there was nowhere she could escape to. And I looked under the table and she was hiding under the table. And I said, what are you doing under there, darling? And she said, Mum, go away. Mum, go. You're embarrassing. I said, what do you mean I'm embarrassing? I'm just coming down to say hi, just to chill with my girl for a few minutes. And she was like, Mum, no, please go. There are teenagers out there, because the older girls were waiting to go into their class and they were just stretching on the ground, just being all, you know, flexible. And I said, this isn't embarrassing. Just this chatting to your old mum, the lady who gave birth to you, not embarrassing. And I said, you need to get out of that under that table, or I'm really going to embarrass you. And she was like, Mum, please go upstairs. Please go upstairs.
That poor child.
And I said, you know, I thought to myself, we need to have a lesson in parental embarrassment, because this ain't it. If me talking to her is what sets the tone for being embarrassed.
Yeah, good
then,
point.
No, I've got to show her what true embarrassment is. So I began doing cartwheels
in the
holding area. And what you need to know is I can't do cartwheels. I'm like a toddler, madly trying to hop
surprised.
Across, all right? And she said, Mum, please, please stop. I said, okay, I'll stop now.
That was embarrassing.
And that's now your barometer.
I'm so proud
for what
of
Mum
you.
Can do. So next time you think I'm embarrassing, just remember this, and we can take it up a notch or two.
I'm very proud of
you.
I'm very proud of you.
You were a little bit of inspo for me, because I thought, what would Lise do? Lise would, you know, threaten to come to gymnastics in her lingerie next week.
I mean, when you say lingerie, though, that's a bit much.
Oh, your bra and undies.
Yeah, that's better.
I just made it sound more exciting. Just gave it an upsell. Anyway.
I feel sorry for your kids, both of you.
Oh, wow, Jace. Just come straight out and say
no,
it.
These are also the things that give them poor memories.
What's the lesson that was learnt by her in that situation?
The lesson is talk to your mother. That's the lesson.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got to build resilience there.
I'm driving here. I'm waiting for an hour for you to finish your class. You'll say hello to your mother, darling. That's what you'll do.
See?
Or.
Right.
What a queen.
Cartwheeling set.
See you guys.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Now.
Okay. Now.
Now.
What's
that now? Lise is annoyed that she can't partake.
Well,
in
I'm just going to reply to
you three times
to my cousin's email in France and add some photos to the email. So you guys go.
You do that. Okay.
Yeah. Merci, Bella.
I'm up to about five or six.
Yeah.
I don't know which one exactly.
So there's only eight episodes in the
she's
series.
Just done it.
Oh.
And so it's like the end of the episode where she's calling everyone.
Yes.
I don't feel sorry for her anymore.
But don't you? Isn't it a roller coaster of emotions?
You know what? I think it was halfway through that episode before she did it, and I said to Sarah, "I said I think I'm over this show because she does not help herself in any way."
No.
Like, and I was like, it just annoys me that she destroyed her family by being so angry at him. And I get she should be angry. Yes, she should be angry, but you can't hold on to that. Like, she did nothing to get over that.
That's
fact.
It. Like, she did the wrong thing with the outcome that happened, obviously, and she's still in prison for that. But my God, like, the rage. Like,
I can understand why she's so angry. Like, he was an ass. Like, he was manipulative. He was, like, not physically abusive, but mentally abusive.
Yeah.
And I get it. From the moment that they separated, he's tried to move on.
Do you feel he was always that way or just when the relationship was
ending? I think it was when the relationship ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she sacrificed a lot for him to get where he was.
She
but
did.
When she's talking about it and she's like, I don't care about money. I don't care about my family. I just want him to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I want him to pay. Like, you've got other stuff going on.
Oh,
you know, you got to take care of your kids.
That's what I mean. Like,
you've got to do stuff for your family. Like, you could have had a healthy relationship with your kids
so
and everything.
He got so nasty
still.
Because he had that lawyer brain, you know, like when she drops the kids off to him and she's like, you do it. And then he files that as she abandoned the children and they're in his full custody.
But the amount of messages she left on his thing that he just recorded and transcribed for the court. And she constantly did not stop.
She
after court told her multiple times, you need to stop doing this.
But
she
then
keeps
can
going.
Can you? I think I said it to you yesterday in the potty when, because I went on a deep dive, a rabbit hole, watching actual interviews of her on Oprah, listening to interviews with her kids, and her son who'd said she's a really nice lady, everyone would get along with her. Just don't talk to her about my dad. And even that's why she hasn't been able to get off parole, because the judges said, like, you still show no remorse for what you did. But that's it. You feel so many things watching.
But it's not even just
that,
like,
series.
Her killing her husband. She killed his
partner, wife as well. And you can see from the new wife how she would have just seen her as just
a crazy,
crazy ex-wife. Yeah.
Like, they've tried to move on. He even was like, I know that he manipulated court stuff, like, to undervalue his practice and stuff, but he was like, I want to give her half. Mm. So it's half of his money.
I know, but then he was fining her. I mean, he couldn't fine her
you
for what he was trying to fine
That's
her for.
Manipulative, yes.
And the way she was frozen out of the entire legal profession because of his connections, and everyone was scared of how good a lawyer he was.
Yeah.
I mean, you've still got two episodes to go, Sonny Jim.
Is my mind going to change?
Because
my mind's gone from one side to the other, to the other,
just,
to the other, to the other.
I just, and then you feel, I feel so sad for her. She did the wrong thing. But she just couldn't switch off that anger. I feel sad for the husband and his ex-wife. Because, I mean,
it happens. Like, you know, there's a million divorces in the world a day.
Yeah, you don't ever take that extreme.
But people get over that stuff, and she didn't try to.
No.
She didn't try to move on. She just went,
and then
I
you
want
see her
pay.
Friendship group change, like, because she just couldn't shut up about it with the friends.
And with her kids. And every time she was with her kids, oh, she with that whore.
But the interesting thing is, of the four kids, two are still in contact with her, and two aren't.
Got rid of it. Like,
two have nothing.
Which I don't blame them at all. From this show, like, I don't know the real story. Obviously, I know this drama.
Well, and nobody's ever got, obviously, her husband has never been here to defend himself through it all. But Yeah, now go and watch the interview with Oprah and everything as well. It was like 20 minutes long in 1992 or 93.
I don't think anyone else needs to do that either. They've just got the full story from us.
Look, it's fascinating because, yeah, you do feel so, you feel conflicted at so many times during, and then you feel guilty for feeling some of the feelings you're feeling. And then you're trying to justify, oh God, it's,
like
acting is so great in it, isn't it?
It's really good.
So great.
Last night, like, I was like, I need to turn this off because I just can't watch her continue to spiral.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I just don't want to watch her continue to spiral. Like
stop
there's so
right
many
now.
Things just fix. Like, you just need to make one right decision and you can fix a lot.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't.
But then
you also go, the stuff that he did to her and the way he was controlling her is. Oh.
Yes, but then nobody deserves to die.
No.
Like,
especially an innocent woman who's married this guy afterwards, who, yes, she did a few little things to push the girl over, but she also was pretty innocent in the whole.
Yeah, I mean, keep watching because that final episode, there's a final scene in the last episode
last
where
I hit
it's like,
bed
oh.
And just went straight to sleep because I was so tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, you can come back.
Okay. You finished your email?
Busy.
Oh, God. Do you know Taylor Dane's 58 years old now? I'm on her Wikipedia. 58. Tell it to my heart. That was the other one.
Tell it to the only one. Tell me I'm the only one.
Tell it.
Love will find a way.
Love will lead you back. So love will lead you back. That's it.
Oh, I know this song.
Just know that love will lead you back
to my heart. Where you
We were singing
Dane. Another one then too,
well,
though.
Tell it to my heart.
Tell me I'm the only one. That's another one entirely.
I've heard, but then there was like other.
There we go. I mean,
oh, that
that's synthesizer.
One.
How good is a synthesizer? Underrated.
So she had Love Will Lead You Back. Tell It to My Heart. Mm-hmm. I'll Be Your Shelter.
I'll be your shelter, baby. Love, synthesizer. Look at Jace.
This feels like an action scene of like, you know, someone being like, I'm gonna change.
Beverly Hills Cops.
Sliding over car bonnets and stuff.
You're like those two American boys who record themselves, film themselves listening to old music, and then they get so excited. I forget what their names are.
Yeah. I love those two.
There was Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
I'll be the one to take you through the night.
Echo.
I've got one more.
I'll make everything all right. Yeah, na 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 na. But guys, this song is not her song. I'm sure of it. This is an old song. This is like a Luther Vandross or something.
I don't know.
This was a Marvin Gaye song.
Yes, it's a Marvin Gaye. This is a remake.
Let me have a look.
Can you have a look? Ooh. Because it's definitely not her original.
I'm going to get Taylor Dane on my...
Oh, Barry White.
Barry White.
No. That's not a lie. Yeah, I mean, they were.
There we go.
Can't get enough of your love, baby. Mm.
Yeah, fun.
She was so huge. Wasn't she? She was just massive.
Oh, God.
She was
this
like
looks
Roxette
good.
Era.
Oh,
you're
look
talking
how
about
good
her career.
This looks.
I thought you were talking about.
Oh, no. Career. Roxette, Taylor Dane.
A Roxette. I can't believe she's passed.
I know. It was all like Fine Young Cannibals, that whole...
That was brilliant. Fine Young Cannibals.
Elton John
Actually,
in
Fine
his
Young
early
Cannibals,
years so good.
Fine Young Cannibals was another CD that I stole from my Uncle John. Well, I didn't steal it. I'd sneak into his room. I know you're listening, John. Mm-hmm. And he had the Madonna Immaculate Collection, which was, I mean, that.
Classic.
He had Fine Young Cannibals CD.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just sit there on the edge of his bed and just listen to those when he was obviously out living his best life at the RE.
Yeah.
Probably. And he also had, sorry, John, I'm outing all your music choices of the 90s, but I'm pretty sure you also had Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that was a banging musical of the 90s. And the soundtrack, the score was sensational. There were a few others. Yeah.
I have the first cassette tape I have a very clear memory of. I was 5 years old. We were living in Papua New Guinea. Dad worked at a mine in Bougainville Island, and I was in the car and we were driving from where we lived at Panguna down the mountain to a little town called Arawa, and Mum had Elton John on, and it was his songs like, I Wanna Kiss the Bride, hey, and Too Low, what was it, Too Low for Zero, Too Slow for Zero? I don't know, I can just remember Mum
singing,
belting out
really?
those songs, and also Hey Mickey. That was
that
when
song,
I think I was like
that was
six,
definitely
or 80s. Six or seven when Hey Mickey, you're so fun, you blow my mind, Hey Mickey.
Mm. Who was that?
Oh, who did Hey Mickey, Lee's?
It was an odd name.
Tony Basil.
Oh, would never have come up with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who covered it? Who covered it?
It was never a cover. What are you talking about? You're going crazy.
No, there's definitely a cover of Hey Mickey, 100%.
Oh, Bewitched.
Oh, we...
There's several copies, several covers. Is this the OG?
It was a one-hit wonder.
Tony Basil. I remember the girls in grade six sang this for some school of Stedford or something, and they thought they were so good.
Actually, who was the other one? Robert Palmer. You're simply irresistible.
Yeah, that was big.
And that was the one that the film clip Shania Twain took off. In. That's Elton.
Elton John.
Yeah. In what was her sound? What was her film clip where she's in the white shirt and the black, like, corset and the men are behind her? What's that film clip?
It's Feel Like a Woman.
Feel Like
Sarah,
a Woman?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Shania, she was so cool.
Who feels like some SB, Sultana Brand?
No.
I've got it here. Look. Took the whole bag from home.
On my list.
That's not mine.
No, that's mine.
I've got some on my desk.
Yeah, well, I didn't go to your desk this morning, Jace. I grabbed this from the pantry.
Sultana Brand is so low on my list of go-to cereal. I would never buy a box of Sultana Brand.
I don't mind it either.
It's what we had to eat when we were growing up. It was Sultana Brand or Weet-Bix.
Yeah, no, we
I'd rather have
Weet-Bix.
No, I don't like Weet-Bix.
Yeah, really? They're doing so many good flavors like cranberry and coconut.
No, there's something.
I don't mind the little bites.
Yeah, Weet-Bix bites. That's what my kids have.
I used to, this is the only way I eat normal Weet-Bix is I cut them in half, put butter on them.
Yeah, I used to, yeah.
Oh, with Vegemite?
Yeah.
You could do that too.
Just with butter.
We used to do the butter thing too.
But you had to put so much.
I think it's the 90s. Yeah.
Mum would put them in our lunchbox if we were out of bread sometimes. Butter and Vegemite on Weet-Bix. But you had to put so much spread on to counter
the dryness.
I showed my partner that and she was like, what is this? Like, this doesn't make any sense at all.
I feel
it's the best thing in the
world. Do people still do that?
I still do it sometimes.
I feel biblical when I eat it because it's like traversing the desert. Like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.
so retro.
Let's make that a phoner. Do you still eat
Weet-Bix
with butter?
Do you still put?
Yes.
But I don't know why you just stopped with butter. Could you try it with the Vegemite for me?
No, because I don't like to try new things.
That's a spirit.
Wow.
Because the saltiness of the butter really complements.
Yeah, but you need good butter. Like, you know, you'd want to be doing some Lurpak on that, wouldn't you?
Good butter, yeah. But I'm at the stage now where, I mean, get excited for this tip. I just leave my butter on the bench. Yes, I do.
Do you have a butter dish?
Yeah, I do.
Underrated. Like, it's something that happens when you turn 40.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you look at a butter dish and go, yes,
I
you
need
belong.
That in my life.
Yes, because, not in the height of summer, Sarah, but it's perfect for winter. In the butter dish.
Yep.
In the pantry, out of direct sunlight, of course.
Yeah, always.
What's the foner?
Do you put butter on your Weet-Bix? Do you put a spread on your Weet-Bix?
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Just try it with the Vegemite, would you?
I don't like Vegemite.
He's very upset about you forcing him to have Vegemite on his Weet-Bix.
I've got this thing about being told what to do.
You reckon?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just cancelled your grey and white hypercolour shirt. He doesn't like to try new things.
Can I just say something, Sarah? I'm really proud of us. I feel that over the years we've really bought good presents for our team members. We've never received any in return.
We actually haven't. We haven't.
But I kind of like it. I feel matriarchal. I feel like, you know, we look after our own and it's nice to remember. Like, what? Let's go through the gifts. What have we gotten for Scotty over
the
years?
When he left...
We got him a voucher for some shoes.
For shoes, because all he wears are thongs. And he was going to work at Channel 10. And we said, you need proper shoes.
And now what is he? The chief of bloody staff. And that is thanks to
I think it's because people looked at his shoes.
It's because he had good shoes.
Yeah. Then when he left the second time, I don't think we got him anything.
No, we got Sharky. Hold on. We got Azzy. Heaps of shit.
Sorry.
I'm not allowed to swear anymore on the podcast, am I?
Oh, I've already sworn a couple of times.
That's right. Starting tomorrow.
Okay.
Starting tomorrow, yeah.
I mean, I don't like being censored. The whole thing of podcasts is that we don't have to be censored.
I know, but we also, I mean, look, I mean, I say the SH word a lot as an exclamation, but I mean, we don't really go.
No, we don't go ape shit. Oops.
Let's replace all the words with different words.
You know what? We should come up with our own swear words.
Like fudge.
Oh. No, good ones.
Fudge in hell.
Like fricative, which is a word. That means
I mean, people who make up swear words, though.
Oh, well.
You also beat out the U bit.
No, what were we just talking about? Azzy gave him socks with our faces on them.
We gave him something else, though. We gave him shark paraphernalia.
Yeah.
We gave him a cool shark hat. We gave him a cool shark lunchbox.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep. Yep, that's right.
Jack. We got Jack meat.
That's right.
A whole slab of top-notch, top-tier, first-grade flesh.
Yeah.
Because he was into barbecuing or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
Got him
that. That's right. Did we get Scotty anything the second time
we definitely
left
got
us?
Scotty heaps of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because we would do Christmas presents as well.
Yes.
As farewell presents. Present.
What did we give you?
You gave me cologne.
Did we? Oh, we did give you cologne.
Yeah, because
which I still wear. It's Zac Efron. Basically the one that I wear.
Yeah, well, we found out Zac Efron wore it and
he did not wear that one. It was from Scotch and Soda.
Barfly. It's so nice, isn't it?
It is really nice.
It's a nice
present.
Yeah, that's right.
I wear it over, what's the one that everyone talks about? Millions.
I love.
I like wearing
them. I wear the Scotch and Soda one over that.
Yeah, Scotch and Soda's nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just think men's aftershave, men's
it smells good.
Do you call it aftershave if they don't put it on their face?
Cologne
is generally speaking much nicer than women's.
Mm.
Like I'm currently wearing. I still love Youp.
I'm currently wearing.
Is that black bottle?
Purple.
Youp? Purple. Oh, okay.
Kind of
I am currently wearing, don't laugh, David Beckham.
Classic.
Is that men's?
Yes.
What have I got? I actually.
Can I smell it? It was $15 from the chemist.
Oh, okay.
Was it fake? Is it fake Beckham?
No, it's David from the chemist. Beckham.
I got this one from Mecca.
Oh, that is nice.
It's quite nice. Yeah, it doesn't
it is
look
feminine.
Well, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Sarah, smell this. David Beckham Classic. Got it from Priceline for $15. Smell it. It won't last. It doesn't have the lasting, but it's a real spritzy.
Because don't they change over the
day? What's that, Sarah?
That's what I got from Mecca the other day. And it's floral Street.
Mecca, go buy
and
Mecca.
It's a Lang Lang espresso.
You mean Ylang-Ylang?
Ylang-Ylang. Espresso.
Cute little bottle.
Hold on, is that
because I like having one in my purse. No, but it's a really, isn't it nice?
It's actually delicious.
Like I really feel quite turned on by myself
when
I wear it.
I mean, if that's not narcissistic, I don't know what is.
Let's put that on a mug.
I feel
next
quite
merch range.
Okay, I feel like we need to collaborate. with another business, because this has been exceptionally fun.
Well, James has just been amazing at Hypercraze.
I know who I want to collab
with.
And I think it's too. I think it's a strong offering.
Well, but the thing is, Coffee if we collab board. With this person, there can be no swearing.
No.
In the product.
That's not our brand.
You know everyone else's mics pick you up still. Just because you turn yours off.
I don't think she understands. We better put a warning at the top. Just like, this is the last podcast where they're swearing.
There are no children listening to this. I can guarantee.
Sometimes we get messages from people saying that they listen in the car with their
kids.
Children. So sorry,
but
children.
You know what? My girl, my eldest, is starting to be like, oh, mum, you know, so-and-so wrote, you know, Francine is a B.
Oh,
in her book, or well,
that's
made up
not
and
nice.
And I was like, no, that's not okay.
Nice.
That's awful and shit. And you know, like Robert said the F word at school the other day, and I was like, look, the thing is, you're going to hear swearing
you
all throughout
are.
Your life.
Absolutely, you are.
I was
it's
like,
what
you've
you do
got it. You will hear it.
Also, it's how you swear.
And
very
I said,
important.
You know, sometimes I say the SH word when I've hurt myself or when I'm running late or what have you.
There are better words to use.
But I said,
it's
you just need to as
swear.
Long as you don't
sometimes
contribute
to
it.
Out.
You just
don't call
get used
people,
to it.
Nate, and don't
I
use
think it's,
it
don't use it
at
against.
Someone.
That's
yes.
exactly right.
Yes.
You can say whatever you want. Just don't direct it at people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a funny thing, isn't it? Because if you give a word power, then it has power over you, I suppose.
Very deep, Sarah.
No, I think too deep. I don't agree.
No, but you know, like I absolutely.
Did you read that in Sarah Wilson's book?
Hate the C word.
Yes, a lot of people
do. It would
do.
Never come out of my mouth.
I've never used it.
Rubbish.
Have I ever used that word?
No.
I feel like you want to use it now.
No, I have not.
I just went through my quick.
I've retold somebody.
Catalogue of Lisa's stories. I was like, no,
every
that word hasn't.
Every single moment you spent with Lisa was like.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's never come out.
No,
but I've used it to retell
a story that somebody used it in the story, sure.
But then I have a couple of mates who will say it in a very like
very funny.
Instead of saying mates, they'll use that word, and for some reason it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
In the way they say it, because there's no malice or hurt in it. Whereas when I was growing up, and still to this day, I feel like it's such a
It's such a strong word.
But at the end of the day, it's.
But then you think of the progression of swearing, right? Like the F word was.
Oh.
I think the F word was the equivalent of the
vulgar.
C word growing up. And I mean, it's still not a great word. But now I feel like the F word has diminished a lot
in its strength.
Yeah. And you think of like, let's go to Gone with the Wind, right? The final line of Gone with the Wind, Rhett Butler saying to Scarlett, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That was very strong. Damn was the
equivalent of the F or C word back in 1939. And now, nothing.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even frickin'.
Yeah.
Frickin' had a period where it was like,
yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I even remember my auntie.
It's like a lower class.
Yeah,
of
my
the
auntie
other Kay
would never say bloody. She'd say blimmin'.
Mm.
Oh, blimmin' idiot. Like just those.
Yeah.
And then over time, words' power gets taken away from them, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or they just become part of.
I think it was Gary V that he was speaking because he swears a lot.
Mm.
And people say, do you feel bad for swearing? Like in front of, you know, younger people, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I don't look at swearing as like, you know, people aren't going to hear someone swear and think they have to say it. It's how you raise them to know what to say. And he goes, I swear because that's how I express myself. That's just how I do it. And I'm not going to apologize for doing that. It's your job to teach your kids the difference between how to use those words. And there's nothing wrong with your kids using them.
Mm.
It's just you need to teach them the right time.
I mean, I've always
it's funny. There was an article. No, it was a guy I follow on Facebook, and in his comment thread, he was talking about swearing, and somebody wrote that when she was growing up,
her mother had said you can swear like when you're playing the Nintendo. Mm. So it was very specific. If they'd lost a game, they could say, oh, you know, S-H-I-T or whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to control what when is it coming out now? Or you're being a D-head or whatever. But and they said now, and she said now that as a grown adult, she still refers to that as Nintendo language. Like that is Nintendo language, and it's not appropriate. And I was like, That's cute.
Great. That is great.
I mean, I never swore growing up, like because my parents punished me for swearing.
Oh, absolutely.
But and to this day, if I speak to my mum,
never.
My swearing is.
Totally.
Almost non-existent.
I remember I was in grade 9 and there was a girl who was telling her friends that her mother was being such a bitch. And I remember being shocked and thinking, you would describe your mother, like you would talk about your mother like that? And that was just horrific to me because I was like, that's so disrespectful.
So disrespectful. But it is. It is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
It is so disrespectful. I would absolutely.
Well, referring to anyone like that is probably disrespectful.
But to your mother?
But to your mum especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I never heard my parents swear beyond bloody or.
Yeah. Yeah, neither did I really.
Yeah. One time I heard mum say the F word. I was 17, living at home, and they'd gone down the road for drinks with at a friend's house, and they couldn't. They'd said, "We'll knock, and you let us back in." And Mum had had a few drinks, and I remember I was trying to get the key in the lock, and I remember her saying to Dad, and Dad giggling outside, and she's like, "Put the key in the lock." I was on the other side of the door, just being like, "Ooh,
you're about to open it, and you're like, back up, you're like,
what? What just happened?"
I think the only time my mum ever swore at me, it wasn't even really at me, it was just like out loud, she said, her exact words were, "Stop thinking with your dick." And I was like, because what happened was I invited like 3 or 4 backpackers that I met in Airlie Beach back to our house.
Sounds like someone thinking with their dick.
In Townsville. So... I invited them back. I was like, yeah, you can stay with us as long as you want. And these are all Swedish, Switzerland backpackers, so they don't know the idea of how long you can have a shower for and stuff. And when you already have 5 people living in your house,
my God,
and then you add
Jace.
Another 4, people's shower times get cut.
Oh, my God, your mother would have been furious.
My God. Yeah.
And then like,
but it's so funny because that's like the second time I can remember mum swearing. When I'm sure I've told you guys this before, 16, and mum was trying to get through to me that boys are so silly until they're, you know, 20, I don't know, 25, 26. And Dad was reading the paper and Mum, to get her point across, said, "Well, Sarah, boys, they think with their dicks, don't they, Vance?" And Dad was just like wanting to be persona non grata paper. And he just like pulled down a corner and went back to the paper. But that was, so when your parents don't swear, you have such a clear memory of the times when they have.
The day that she said that to me, I kicked the backpackers out that exact afternoon. I was like, "You guys need to go now. Like, get out."
God.
And then I cooked Mum dinner because I felt so bad. And I apologized. I was like, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that." I mean, I know, like, I meant to do it, but I didn't realize the impact it would have on people.
Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah, boys are dumb.
Well. I mean, it's quite funny when you recall those instances, I suppose. Lise, what are you doing? Like, feel free to contribute to this conversation at any point. Just jump on in. Leapfrog.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, what was that game? What was that?
We used to jump over each other?
No, that one where you space jump. Lise, you're in. Shh.
What?
I'm just so
hungry. Remember Space Jump?
No.
You'd do it in like drama at school where you'd have to come up with a scenario. Someone would yell, "Space Jump!" And then another student would come in and you'd have to change the scenario.
You've got to pass it up. You've got to pass it up.
So like everyone would stop what they were doing. The person would come in and think like,
it's improv.
You're patting a dog. Oh,
I'd love. I think I would be good at improv.
Improv is my idea of
hell. We should try it.
Hell, Sarah, I've done it.
Let's do a real quick one between
no,
us.
No, thanks. No. I don't need to do it. Like,
knock,
I
knock,
hate
knock.
Really, it's really her Achilles heel.
Knock, knock, like, knock, knock.
Who's there? Go away. I don't want to do improv.
Okay, thanks.
Dane made pork belly for dinner last night and I didn't eat enough of it. I'm really hungry and I'm fading fast.
Oh, okay, we need to get out of the podcast.
Sorry, that's why she was rattling her Sultana brand packet.
Yeah, like half an hour ago.
I am.
Hey, guys, exciting news. We're interviewing Turia Pitt today.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be up.
Well.
This week at some point. I love her.
I love her too.
Okay, let's go get some food.
Oh, God. For God's sake, eat your bloody Sultana brand.
Tickety-boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.